Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 67, stanzas 1, 3, 4, and 5. Lord, to me thy ways make known. Guide in truth and teach thou me. Thou my Savior art alone. All the day I wait for thee. 1, 3, 4, and 5 of Psalter 67.
Thank you. We wish to read out of God's holy and precious word that which can be found in Luke 1. But before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Luke 1, beginning with verse 1 to 25. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they deliver them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. There was, in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not able to speak, until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people waited for Zacharias, and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them, and remained speechless. And it came to pass that, as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me, to take away my reproach among men. Thus far. We shall now read the form from the form for the administration of baptism, which can be found on page 126 of your Psalter. The principal parts of the doctrine of holy baptism are these three. First, that with our children are conceived and born in sin, that we with our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are children of wrath, insomuch that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God except we are born again. This, the dipping in or sprinkling with water, teaches us, whereby the impurity of our souls is signified, and we admonish to loathe and humble ourselves before God, and seek for our purification and salvation without ourselves. Secondly, holy baptism witnesseth and sealeth unto us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. For when we are baptized in the name of the Father, God the Father witnesseth and sealeth unto us that he doth make an eternal covenant of grace with us, and adopts us for his children and heirs, and therefore will provide us with every good thing, and avert all evil, or turn it to our profit. And when we are baptized in the name of the Son sealeth unto us that he doth wash us in his blood from all our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of his death and resurrection, so that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. In like manner, when we are baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost assures us by this holy sacrament that he will dwell in us and sanctify us to be members of Christ, applying unto us that which we have in Christ, namely, the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives, till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Thirdly, whereas in all covenants there are contained two parts, therefore are we by God through baptism admonished of and obliged unto new obedience, namely, that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that we trust in him and love him with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our mind, and with all our strength, that we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, and walk in a new and holy life. And if we sometimes through weakness fall into sin, we must not therefore despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin, since baptism is a seal and undoubted testimony that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. And although our young children do not understand these things, we may not therefore exclude them from baptism, for, as they are without their knowledge partakers of the condemnation in Adam, so are they again received unto grace in Christ, as God speaketh unto Abraham, the father of all the faithful, and therefore unto us and our children, saying, I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. This also the Apostle Peter testifieth with these words, for the promises unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Therefore God formerly commanded them to be circumcised, which was a seal of the covenant and of the righteousness of faith. And therefore Christ also embraced them, laid his hands upon them, and blessed them. Since then baptism is come in the place of circumcision, Therefore, infants are to be baptized as heirs of the kingdom of God and of his covenant. And parents are in duty bound further to instruct their children herein when they shall arrive to years of discretion.
That therefore this holy ordinance of God may be administered to his glory, to our comfort, and to the edification of his church, and let us call upon his holy name. O almighty and eternal God, thou who hast according to thy severe judgment punished the unbelieving and unrepentant world with the flood, and hast according to thy great mercy saved and protected believing Noah and his family, thou who hast drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, and has led thy people Israel through the midst of the sea upon dry ground by which baptism was signified, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased of thine infinite mercy graciously to look upon these children and incorporate them by thy Holy Spirit into thy Son Jesus Christ, and that they may be buried with him into his death, and be raised with him in newness of life, and that they may daily follow him, joyfully bearing their cross, and cleave unto him in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love, that they may with a comfortable sense of thy favor leave this life, which is nothing but a continual death, and at the last day may appear without terror before the judgment seat of Christ thy Son, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost, one only God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. I now request the parents to arise and to answer the following questions. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have heard that baptism is an ordinance of God to seal unto us and to our seed his covenant. Therefore, it must be used for that end, and not out of custom or superstition. That it may then be manifest that you are thus minded, you are to answer sincerely to these questions. First, whether you acknowledge that although our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are subject to all miseries, yea, to condemnation itself, yet that they are sanctified in Christ, and therefore as members of his church ought to be baptized. Secondly, whether you acknowledge the doctrine which is contained in the Old and New Testaments and in the articles of the Christian faith and which is taught here in this Christian church to be the true and perfect doctrine of salvation. Thirdly, whether you promise and intend to see these children when come to the years of discretion whereof you are parents, instructed and brought up in the aforesaid doctrine, or help or cause them to be instructed therein to the utmost of your power. What is your answer, Father and Mother Arnoldusen? Father and Mother Busicum? Father and Mother Janssen? Father and Mother Clausen? Father and Mother Van Hagenbosch. Dear parents, we have just heard read out of the Word of God of the promise of a child. And what do we read here? We read, there shall be joy and gladness. Is it not so? When your child was born, joy and gladness. There is new life, and that new life that is to you, to us, very, very precious. But we do not read here of only a natural, of only a temporal life. We here read also of a spiritual life. We read, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. Thus, who can fathom that this child did not see a single day in his whole life in the state of death, but was given life in the soul, even in the womb of his mother? And thus we have proof that it is a one-sided work of God. That is where it begins. The Lord, he had a very special work for this child, John the Baptist. And because of this spirit that the Lord had given to him, the Lord has by this said, I have a claim upon this child. And so, Zacharias, as the father, he is given special direction from the Lord. What does the angel say? He shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. Say, is that not lawful? A little wine, a little strong drink. It is lawful, but it was not lawful for this child. It was lawful for others, but this child was to be separated by the Lord himself. Who can tell what the Lord has in store for your child? Whether that this child is a chosen vessel of the Lord, and, which is also possible, and that even at this time, and that grace of God that is living in the heart of this child, to Zacharias that was revealed, to us that is not revealed, but one day that will be revealed when and we are standing before the judgment seat of God. Nevertheless, the Lord, by baptism, does set a mark upon your child and does say that he has a claim on that child. Thus it is, he says, to be brought up not for the world, but it is a child that is to be brought up by him. It is given by him, and it is to be brought up for him, and it must be returned unto him. Baptism, that is a sacrament, we heard it, that has two sides. Every covenant that has two sides. A great, great responsibility lies upon you as parents. We hope that you may feel your inability and that you may need him every day to fulfill that responsibility. On the other side, there are blessings in this covenant that are so far above every blessing that can be received in this whole world. And if you believe that, that will be noticed by your children. It will be seen by them every day. What do we read here? Joy and gladness. The world claims it as theirs. Joy and gladness. It is not true. How can it be true? If there is sin, if there is guilt, if there is pollution in our conscience, then there is no joy, then there is no gladness in this world. Because everything that we attempt to enjoy in this world is spoiled by guilt and by pollution. But joy and gladness that is reserved for that true church, a church that is forgiven, a church that is washed, a church that is cleansed in the blood of that dear Son of God. And we hope that you as parents may experience a little bit of what that joy and that gladness is, that this may be evident also to your children, and that they also may be given to know of what that joy and that gladness is. While the children are brought in, let us sing the Song of Zacharias, stanzas 3, 4, and 6. The Song of Zacharias, stanzas 3, 4, and 6. John was the prophet of the Lord, to go before his face, the herald which our Savior God sent to prepare his ways. Behold the Lamb of God, he cries, that takes our guilt away. I saw the Spirit o'er his head on his baptizing day. And what follows? 3, 4, and 6 of the Song of Zacharias, and after baptism, 425, stanza 5.
Thank you.
Marissa Jolene, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Thea Marion, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Nathan Henry, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Sebastian Andrew, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Lindsay Joanna, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us now close with thanksgiving and at the same time ask for a blessing upon this service. Almighty God and merciful Father, we thank and praise Thee that Thou hast forgiven us and our children all our sins through the blood of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and received us through Thy Holy Spirit as members of Thine only begotten Son, and adopted us to be Thy children, and sealed and confirmed the same unto us by holy baptism, We beseech thee, through the same Son of thy love, that thou will be pleased always to govern these baptized children by thy Holy Spirit, that they may be piously and religiously educated, increase and grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they may then acknowledge thy fatherly goodness and mercy which thou hast shown to them and us, and live in all righteousness under our only teacher, King and High Priest Jesus Christ, and manfully fight against and overcome sin, the devil, and his whole dominion, to the end that they may eternally praise and magnify thee, and thy Son Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Ghost, the one only true God. Give thy people an eye to behold thee, and that blessed covenant which thou hast made from that never begun eternity. For thou hast said, my plighted word I will not break, nor change the promise that I spake, though that each and every day their sin that increases, or that thou may give in that daily despondency and that warfare from our own side, that we may be given more and more to cast ourselves upon that blood which thou hast shed upon that cursed tree, that it may become more and more that anchor, that we may be given to enter in thereby. Oh, that thou may give a reliance upon it, because there is no comfort except in thee. Oh, Lord, that thou may give that also this holy sacrament, when it may be from time to time administered among us, that it may be sanctified in the midst of thy church, that that which thou hast given in a visible way may truly be to the strengthening of our hearts, that that most holy faith that thou dost give momentarily in this world, in the life of thy children, may be made more steadfast, that they may be more and more monuments, living monuments of thy grace and of thy mercy in the midst of a wicked and a perverse generation, that the world also may see and feel, and that it is a blessed people, a people who may simply rely upon a finished work, and that have nothing anymore that can come or is due from their own sight. Oh, give a little of that joy and that rejoicing in the birth of thy only begotten Son. Lord, wilt thou bless thy word, bless these parents. Remember also the grandparents. Wilt thou give humble hearts and give acknowledging hearts unto thee for thy great goodness, for thy keeping hand, and that thou may give prayer and a supplication at thy throne of grace, and also a warning voice in the midst of their families, but could it also be a drawing voice that may speak of those things that are most necessary, as that time for them is drawing closer and closer, That they have also to give an account of a baptized forehead? Or wilt thou remember all those that have no children, the barren wombs, that thou may supply in all their wants? And wilt thou remember all those that have cares and burdens in this world, in this life, that thou thyself may take it over for them, and that thou may give that one burden to become a reality that is able to be taken away? Or that thou may remember all those that bring up children, that they which are in the schools may receive also thy grace and thy spirit, that they may instruct our children and our grandchildren in that true and that tender fear of thy most holy name. Wilt thou look upon us in this hour, when we are together round about thy word? Give us the opening of thy Holy Spirit, the strength that is necessary, the wisdom, the simplicity. And could it be thy Spirit in our midst in a feeling, in a believing way? Oh, hear us then. For the sake of thy only begotten Son, we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 22. All the stanzas, how long wilt thou forget me? O Lord, thou God of grace, how long shall fears beset me while darkness hides thy face? And what follows in Psalter number 22, all the stanzas, and the last collection today is for the Student Support Fund. congregation, our text for this afternoon can be found in that portion that was read to you, Luke 1, and thereof the 13th verse, Luke 1, verse 13. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. So far, the words of our text, the hearing of prayer. We want to consider this in three thoughts. First, a prayer that ceased. Second, a prayer that did not cease. And third, a prayer that was heard. The hearing of prayer. First, a prayer that ceased. Second, a prayer that did not cease. And third, a prayer that was heard. Fear not, Zacharias. Who said that? We read it was an angel of the Lord. Is that not a wonder? That is a message from heaven. Fear not. Does your soul desire to hear such a message from heaven? Adam and Eve, they were afraid when the Lord came to them after sin came into the world. And so that was with every appearance of the Lord afterwards in this world, that there was fear and that there was trembling. We read of Manoah, and when he knew that it was an angel of the Lord, then he said, we shall surely die. Moses, when he realized the Spirit of the Lord that was in that burning bush, and then he was sore afraid. And we can read this here also of Zacharias, that he was troubled and fear fell upon him. Fear, that is an awful, awful scourge. That is the consequence of sin. Sin is the cause of it. And death, that is the object of our fears. There is much fear of men in the world. There is little fear of the Lord in the world. Why? Because the majesty of the Lord, that is so much hidden yet, that when once that majesty of the Lord that is going to be coming into the foreground, then the fears of men, and that is felt already in the approaching death, and then they are also welling up in their hearts. Fear. Faith makes the majesty of God true for a man. That he begins to believe in that God of the Holy Scriptures. And he begins to fear. That is, before that death is literally approaching, and when he considers this death and this judgment, that he is afraid. Christ himself, we read in the garden, how fearful that he was. That sweat became even as great drops of blood falling to the ground. That was all suffered on account of that sin of his church. And it did make it possible for the Lord to send a message to this earth. and to say unto men in this world, fear not. Because he has taken away all cause for fear. Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. Do you pray? Is your prayer heard? Maybe there are some that can say, I know what it is, because in such a circumstance in my business, when I was laid on a bed of affliction, then I may know that that prayer that was heard, where did it bring you? Did it give you that acknowledging heart that afterwards it has brought you unto his feet? Another, he says, oh, if I only knew that my prayer was heard, because I have been praying for so many years. And the Lord, he hears, he knows what I pray. But I see this one, and I see that one. But it seems like it is never for me. That you say, what precious words are spoken here from heaven unto Zacharias. Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. That you say, if only I could hear it, also myself, my own name, that cry, my supplication, that is heard in heaven. What is that prayer? That Zacharias, we read here, thy prayer is heard. We read, thy wife Elizabeth, she shall bear thee a son. Children, they are a gift of God. The Lord, we read in his word, he opens the womb, and the Lord, he closes the womb. That is his sovereignty. And today, then man, he tries to put his hand in that very, very consecrated place to touch what he may not touch. Because the Lord is he that giveth life, and the Lord is he that taketh away life. What do we read of Elizabeth? We read that she was barren, and therefore she had no child. Did she pray? You can be sure. Because we can read of these two persons, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless, not sinless, no. And yet it says blameless. It was in uprightness of heart. Barrenness in those days, that was not just merely the same as today. Certainly it was a temporal disappointment in this world. But it was more than this, because there was a people who were looking forward, an Advent people that were looking forward to the coming of the Messiah, to the fulfillment of the promises of the Lord in their seed. And so with Simeon, these people, they are waiting for that consolation of Israel, in that promised child. Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son. How glad that Zacharias must have been. Don't you think so too, children? How glad when the angel of the Lord, he says to him that he is going to be a father, that they are going to have a little baby. Then you are glad too, are you not? When there is going to be a little baby born in your house. And yet Zacharias, he is filled with unbelief. Oh, that awful, awful unbelief. That sinful, sinful unbelief. What does he not believe? He does not believe the word of the Lord. He does not believe the messenger of the Lord. He does not believe the power of the Lord. He does not believe the truth of the Lord. He casts doubt upon the word of the Lord. He is rebuked for it. I am Gabriel. I stand before God. He is punished for it. Oh, that awful, awful unbelief. His mouth is closed. He is not allowed to speak. But why does he not believe? It is not a good reason. But we think it is a good reason. It is just because, well, because it was no longer humanly possible. What do we read, boys and girls? We read that these two persons, they are well stricken in years. Zacharias and Elizabeth, they are now old. And you know when people become old, then they do not have children anymore. And so Zacharias, he does not believe it. And that unbelief is proof that that prayer of Zacharias has long ceased. It has long been done that he has said, our prayer that is not heard. And that our prayer that will not be heard. And therefore they did not pray for this anymore. Are there things for which you have ceased to pray? Paul, we can read that he prayed that the Lord would take away his affliction. You have an affliction. Does the Lord not take it away for so many years? Do you cease even to pray for it anymore? Do you have a wandering child? Does it look so impossible that you cease to pray for it anymore? There are so many things that are of our flesh that need to be stripped away from us. And the Lord, he knows how to do it. But it is a great blessing if indeed we may come on the side of the Lord and that we may agree. When we may agree that the Lord does as he pleases, even though it is against all that is living in our flesh, all of our desires. And yet, the salvation of the church that is going through a way which is always a wonder, the salvation of the church that is always going through a way where in the human understanding that is coming to an end, it is first necessary that our power is taken away, that all of our wisdom is taken away, our strength, our doings, our dependence upon ourselves, our fellow man, the Lord. He is going to receive the honor. He is going to receive the glory for the deliverance of the souls of His own children. And He is going to reveal Himself as the deliverer, as the Savior of His own people. We consider that further in our second thought, the prayer that did not cease. Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. It is true that that prayer that has ceased a long time ago already, but it was not forgotten. Do you know what Matthew Henry says? He says it was filed in heaven. It was filed in heaven. Do you have prayers? Do you have supplications from long ago that are still filed in heaven? And yet there is more. Because Zacharias, do you think that Zacharias has ceased altogether to pray, children? What do you think? You say, I don't think so. And you are right. He did not altogether cease praying. But now we must take a look for a moment what Zacharias is here doing. Where is he? Well, he is in the temple of the Lord. And he is in the holy place. So you know that within that temple, there was the most holy place. And then outside of that veil, there was the holy place where was the candlestick and the table of showbread and the altar of incense. And now Zacharias, he was an old man. He was a common priest, and the priests, they did not serve anymore when they were at the age of Zacharias. They served from 25 years old until they were 50 years old, and then and the younger ones, they would serve, and the older ones, they would not serve anymore. But then it was their custom that for this work, that also those older priests, they would receive a turn. Some say that these priests, they received that turn only once in all of their lifetime. So it was by the casting of the lot that these priests, they were selected to do this work of offering of incense. What is that? Well, then that incense altar was standing there in that holy place, and the priest had to go outside of that holy place to the brazen altar, and that is an altar where the sacrifices of the Lord were laid. And that was an altar on which the fire that was never to go out. And the priest was to take coals off of that brazen altar, bring them in unto the holy place, and there to sprinkle incense on those coals. And the smoke of that incense, a precious smell that would rise up to heaven. Thus, it was a signification of something, children. It was a visible thing that went from the earth to the heavens. Is there something, boys and girls, that goes from your house, from the earth to the heaven? Something that we cannot see? Is there a cry that goes out of your heart that goes from the earth to the heaven? Thus, prayer that is signified by this offering on that altar of incense. And we know that everything in that tabernacle first and in that temple that was pointing to that mediator that was to come, the offices of that priesthood. And so was also this work that that priest, he was here a picture, a visible picture of Christ in his intercessory work. And what is intercession? Intercession, you pray, young people, for yourselves, but do you also sometimes pray for others? For your mother, for your father, for your brother, for your sister, for your minister, for your teacher, your elders, so on. Intercede is to pray for someone else. So that is a picture of Christ in his intercessory work. And that intercession that had a foundation. Where did those coals have to come from? Where did that fire have to come from? That had to come off of that brazen altar, because that was coals that have come out of the sacrifice of Christ. That was the only foundation. It was the only way that any cry, that any supplication could be heard by the Lord. We read of Nadab and Abihu that they offered strange fire before the Lord. What was that fire? Well, that was fire of their own making that did not come off of that brazen altar. Thus, when a man will attempt to supplicate unto the Lord outside of that one foundation wherein heaven has been opened, it is a stench in the nostrils of the Lord. Those two men, they were condemned by the Lord. Thus, that angel of the Lord, he is appearing unto Zacharias in that time that he is offering up supplication unto the Lord on behalf of the people of the Lord. That is, in a public manner, as the church, they are on the outside, and we read there, they are praying also unto the Lord. Thus, it is true that in a personal way, all of the desires, the fleshly desires of Zacharias and his wife, they had to be forfeited. That they must agree that that will of the Lord be done. And yet, that hope of Israel that is still living, that is still laying in their hearts, it is something for which they did not cease to pray. But it is also something for which Christ himself does not cease to pray. That was that whole picture that was coming out of what Zacharias is here busy doing. Thus, the foundation of God, amidst all the disappointments in the life of God's children, the foundation of God that standeth sure. What do we read of Abraham? Who against hope believed in hope. Why? That he may become the father of many nations. A church against hope, believing in hope. That was the life, the heart of Zacharias. Is that also our hope? A hoping against hope. Zacharias, he is led outside. He must go there. He must go out to that altar. He is led out to the foundation. And he must take that up in his own hands when he must do that labor in the temple. Oh, we cannot but believe that in this labor, this special labor of Zacharias, that his heart that did go out unto the Lord in a special way. But regardless of Zacharias, oh, he is here a picture of that interceding high priest, that unceasing prayer that never stops, even in the courts of heaven. Oh, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And when the smoke of that incense that is ascending into heaven in that official work, then the Lord, we read it in His Word, the Lord, He smelt a sweet savor. Oh, and there comes a time for the deliverance of God's people. Gabriel, who is standing on the right hand of God, he is dispatched from heaven to the earth, that he may appear and that he may show unto his people these things. Oh, the Lord, he is such a surprising God. Though that he is bearing so long with his people, then he is coming in just a time when they are least expecting it. And when he comes, then he is bringing tidings which are requiring a special faith in order to believe them. A special faith. What are those tidings? Let us sing first. 92, the first stanza. Be thou my helper in the strife. O Lord, my strong defender be. Thy mighty shield protect my life. Thy spear confront the enemy. And what follows in the first stanza of Psalter 92. our last thought, prayer that is heard. Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. It does not say prayers. It says prayer. Thus it is singular. All the supplications of Zacharias, both in private and in public, they are here answered together to his great surprise. They could be. How could they be? Because they were one. Because they were not divided in their substance. They were not divided in his need. And therefore they could also all be answered together. Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. Thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Parents, you gave to your child a name. That is your duty. But hear the Lord. He gave to this child a name. Special name. Why? Because it was a representation. Because it would be preached 2,000 years later. And what did he command that child be called? He was to be called John. John. You know what John means? John, that means the Lord is gracious. The Lord is gracious. Oh, the naming of that child that is so full of meaning. Why? Because that child, he is set to usher in a new dispensation in this world. He is set to usher in that gospel dispensation, signifying the end of the dispensation of the law. Children, do you remember? By the law is the knowledge of what? Sin. By the law is the knowledge of sin. Did the Lord teach you the knowledge of sin by his law? John the Baptist, he would begin his preaching with the word repent. Why? Because there is no salvation outside of the way of repentance. But by that law is no knowledge of what? Of deliverance. It is just the opposite. By that law, because of the weakness of our flesh, that deliverance is being cut off. Was it ever cut off in your life? That you say there is no deliverance. But John the Baptist, he is sent as a forerunner, that he may cry and that he may say, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Thus a new and a living way for that Jewish nation not only, but also for the entire world. A declaration of the fulfillment of the law and the promise of grace. Grace. The Lord is gracious. When the Lord is revealing that grace in the life of his people, then it is a message that is coming to them just as that message came unto Zacharias as a great surprise. It is so utterly unexpected. Even though every day their cry, their supplication that is going up unto heaven in Jesus' name, for Jesus' sake, based upon the coals that are coming off of that brazen altar. And they ask for grace, yes, but they do not understand what grace is. Because we are actually enemies of grace. But when the Lord, He is bringing to the end of that dispensation of the law, and when they are cut off by that law, then what is the Lord declaring? He is declaring, the Lord is gracious. That grace, that is a gift, that is coming out, that is flowing out of Christ. One of the many benefits of Him. And sometimes, that gift that is revealed to that people before that He is revealed to them in His person. Thus, as Isaac has sent to Rebekah gifts, and she may perceive the beauty of them to draw her heart unto the person of Isaac, so the Lord, He is sometimes revealing that grace in order to draw that people unto the person of Himself. That declaration of grace that is removing all fear. Because it is by this declaration that the Lord, He says, fear not. And then there is a great peace. A great peace in such a moment, even though your soul, oh, that it may be so filled with wonder that it will say, how is that now possible for me? Grace. Grace, free, just like that, forgiveness, payment finished. How is that now possible for me? And it can be that unbelief, that wretched, wretched unbelief is so mixed in with the faith of that people that the Lord, He closes their mouth, that they cannot even speak about it. And yet, they have experienced it in their heart. And the time will come later for Zacharias when that child is born. And then the Lord, He is going to open His mouth again, O congregation. The ways of the Lord, they are so mysterious. A man, he is a riddle unto himself. He prays, and he stops praying. He ceases to pray, but he cannot cease to pray. Why? Because that need that is living in his heart, that is the mark of an Advent people. Because what does Job say? He says, will the wicked always call upon God? No, they will not. No, they will not. They will cease to pray altogether. But the Lord, He is bringing that people back. Oh, it becomes just a sigh. And sometimes to cry for a cry and to sigh for a sigh. And yet, they are supplications that are filed in heaven. And yet that is not their foundation. No. Because there is another prayer that is continuing for the sake of that people. And it is when this has taken place in the life of Zechariah that the Lord came. And therefore, or out of that life, then we may still 2,000 years later say unto that people, wait for it. Oh, wait for it, for it will surely come, and it will not tarry. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, it is thy own covenant. It is so sure. It is so sure. Thou art a rock, and thou canst not be moved. Hath he said it, and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Remember thy people. Those who cannot believe it anymore. And wilt thou revive thy work in the midst of the years? Open that covenant. Give them once again to draw nigh unto thee with longings, hungerings, thirstings, and pantings. In true faith. That it also may be answered by thee. Dismiss us with thy blessing. Forgive and take away our many sins. For Jesus' sake. Amen. 73, 1, 2, 5, and 6. The Lord Almighty is my light. He is my Savior ever near. And since his strength is, and since my strength is in his might, who can distress me or affright? What evil shall I fear? 1, 2, 5, and 6 of Psalter 73.
Thank you.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.